There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome to the family with
Hackmaster Ralph W. Basham, MD,
Alex Brant-Bernard Rasmussen,
co-host Catherine Brandt,
and Andy Brant-Bernard.
Kristen Burr will join us right after this with the family.
Tommy, I never believed it until now, but apparently you're a pretty big deal.
Well, was there ever a question in your mind?
Well, you might say I was a doubting Thomas. See what I did there?
Yes, how incredibly clever. Anyway, what's your point?
Well, last month I was trying to find you a car to replace the Mafia Mobile and suggested leasing a Nissan Altima as it was impossible to find your first choice.
I love that Altima, and I'm actually looking forward to checking out the all-wheel drive as soon as it snows.
Well, apparently someone at Nissan was listening to us, and at this month, at Coon Rapids Nissan and Burnsville Nissan, we can offer short-term 18-month leases.
That's actually pretty smart. By then, the chip shortage will be over, right?
Man, I hope so. The only chip shortage I want to hear about is Bilski dumping one into the bunker. By the way, for the first time ever, Coon Rapids Nissan was number one in the state, and Burnsville was number two. Your Altima was actually one of the cars that put J-Lo on top.
To learn more about short-term leasing, stop into Burnsville Nissan or Coon Rapids Nissan. Michael Bryant, Brad Sean Bryant, what's the latest?
We're just trying to represent people who've been injured through no fault of their own. We're trying to talk to them before they talk to an adjuster or before they take a settlement that isn't something they should get based upon their injuries.
How many people are out there in different, not in the law business, that love to run around scaring people before you even get to them?
Well, adjusters will want to settle cases, right, and they want to close files. So based upon that, they do what they have to. I think there's a lot of circumstances where they probably act as attorneys where they're not attorneys, and they try to explain people's rights, or they give them a certain view that if they look at it. And what I always say is this: if the adjuster really truly thinks the offer they made makes sense, they'd have them come see us, you know?
And that's exactly my question is, you have to understand who has the best, your best interest in mind, correct?
Well, you want to know what your rights are. You know, whether or not you decide you're going to hire us or not, that's a choice. It's a free consultation, and you want to understand what your, all your rights are and what coverages you have.
And plus the fact, I hang out with you, so you got to be a good guy if I'm hanging out with you.
Maybe.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Bryant, Bradshaw and Bryant. We've been waiting so long. We're rocking out, man. That's all I have to say. Mom had to hit the road because Terry called her. Her brother called her. So Mom is not here right now, but we do have Kristen Burt. I know
sure
that.
Do.
Oh, Kristen Burt.
Oh, my goodness. Can you believe I'm here? It's Tuesday.
Yeah, what the hell are you doing? Where have you been?
Last week, I had an appearance on QVC, so I couldn't.
You had an appearance? Wow.
Yes, I represent a product on QVC, so I'm on QVC about twice a month.
Oh, good for you. Cool.
You know, I gotta ask you something about presenting products on television, okay?
Yes.
Last Saturday, I got up early. Well, I always wake up early anyway, but I got out of bed at about, I don't know, 4:30, something like that. And I'm just hanging around all day, and about 8:30, 9 o'clock, I figured, maybe I'll watch a little TV, see what's on, and I go, oh, the Comedy Channel, let's go on there. So I go on to watch, it's a show called Just for Laughs, okay? Mm-hmm. You know the show Just for, it's actually a French-Canadian show, so they don't talk during, they talk, but they don't translate it, they just have a commentator. So when they're talking to one another, you can't hear them talking because they're speaking French, because it's a French-Canadian show, right? Mm-hmm. Playing in America. And I watch that, and it comes to an end, and then it's like this next show comes on. And the next show is called, this is on Comedy Central, which is a broadcast channel. It's on all the cable systems. It's broadcast, you know, around the world or cabled around the world or whatever. So it's accessible to everybody, right?
Yes.
I'm sitting there watching, and this woman goes, oh, you're going to love this product. I don't know the name of this damn show. I didn't look. I just figured it was going to be another comedy show. Well, it wasn't a comedy show. The woman holds up a huge pink dildo. I'm not making this up. She holds up a huge pink dildo and then goes, watch this. Flicks a button and it starts rotating. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm watching a big pink dildo rotate on a cable channel that any 8-year-old that wakes up on Saturday morning could turn on and watch too. How is that allowed on television?
I don't know.
It's cable.
I guess because it's cable. I always feel like there's less regulation on cable.
But everything's on either cable or satellite now. That's everything, isn't it?
Broadcast has stricter regulations. I mean, think about it when it comes to swearing and nudity. They have much stricter practices than HBO.
Does the FCC control cable television, too?
They should.
Because I know they control broadcast, and that is why it's so strict. I wonder.
But I don't want an 8-year-old getting up and watching a woman hold up a rotating dildo at 9 o'clock in the morning, for Christ's sake.
Would they even know what it is?
Well, it sure looked like a penis, I'll tell you that. Absolutely. And then there was a little hook at the bottom, but I didn't know what it was, and Catherine was telling me it's to stimulate the woman. So I don't know. It's like, Jesus. Hey, Mom, I was watching this thing, and a guy's got a pink baseball bat. It's unbelievable. There are little kids out there. What are we doing?
I don't know. I as a kid, I was naive enough that I probably would think it was a pink baseball bat, too. So
yeah.
Well, it could be. That rotates by itself.
So I'd be like, Mom, can we get one of those? It looks so cute because it's pink.
Your mother loved that idea, I bet, huh?
Yeah, she'd be like, oh, okay.
That went over really huge. All right, anyway, moving on. I just wanted to complain about that because I don't think our children should be allowed to tune in and watch something like that.
I don't know if kids watch TV anymore anyway. They
That's
probably
true.
Aren't watching Comedy Central, and if they were going to turn anything on, it's going to be a phone, and it's going to be YouTube or TikTok.
You are correct.
No, FCC is only to broadcast television, so cable can basically do whatever they want.
Bad idea. Really bad idea.
We don't even have cable, so
we haven't had cable since we moved.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't get cable either. I just
so you're the only one who's traumatized.
Mm-hmm. I'm the only one in America traumatized because nobody else watches it, apparently.
Nobody else has cable.
And nobody else has cable. Well, it comes with the building. What are you going to do? So there, because we don't have broadcast television in Minnesota. We do not. We don't have cable. We don't have broadcast. We just have whatever that other crap is called.
Yeah, Roku and
Roku.
Friends.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what we do.
All right, so Kristen, what's new in your world? What's the latest?
We're getting ready for the Super Bowl here in Los Angeles, so that's probably the biggest news in town. And obviously, our Rams are playing, so that's exciting. Oh. I couldn't name a single football player on the team, but...
I was just saying that. It's like, how can you name any football greats right now other than Tom Brady?
Patrick Mahomes, only because... I feel like he gets a lot of play, and his wife does. His wife is always aggravating people, as is his brother, Jackson.
Really?
I feel like, they garner a lot of headlines. They seem to be, everyone seems to say that, and you know, people who are football experts can maybe agree or disagree with me. This is just what I generate on and the impressions I get from the entertainment side of this, that Patrick seems to be a nice guy. People like him a lot. His brother is problematic, and his fiance is problematic.
Now, how are they being problematic? What are they doing?
I think that his brother is kind of leaning into his brother's celebrity.
You
know, throws around the name, like, don't you know who I am, or don't you know who my brother is, that kind of situation.
God.
Which happens all the time when someone's sibling becomes famous. We've heard this story over and over again. His fiance, and this is kind of a... there's two sides to this story that's been playing out in the media. She was up in one of the skyboxes, I think during one of the playoff games, and she sprayed champagne down on the like the mezzanine level below. Some people are saying, hey, that was really rude to do. It looks like you're, you know, like showering champagne down to all the peons. Some people were sitting in that section said, hey, we encouraged her to do it after their win. So, but she's taken a lot of heat for it.
I don't get. Well, their dad was famous. He was a pitcher for the Twins, as a matter of fact.
There you go. I mean, so they've been in the limelight in some way, shape, or form for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. His name was Patrick Mahomes Sr. He's the senior in the good guy, I guess. I didn't know him. I never met him, but I heard he was a real nice guy. So I don't know what to tell you.
But that's who I can name. And Tom Brady and and Aaron Rodgers, of course, because of his off-the-field controversies.
Like what?
His whole, like, I'm vaxxed, no, I'm immunized.
Oh, and yeah,
he's,
yeah.
You know, the anti-vax thing, the Joe Rogan situation, and he's engaged to an actress. So I think that that's probably another reason I know who he is. But otherwise, I'm like, I have no idea.
Sure. All right. Kristen, we brought it up earlier, but I want to hear your take. What is your take on Joe Rogan?
Listen,
she laughs.
You're either
going
to listen to him or you're not. I don't listen to Joe Rogan. He has been kind of a bro for a really long time. He is just that, like, he's the guy that, he's like a gym rat to me. You know what I mean? Like, the guy just spends the whole day in the gym lifting, forms his own opinions from the guys in the gym, spouts them off on the radio. He's got his opinion. Do I think he's probably vaccinated behind the scenes? I do, honestly. I'm not going to lie. And then, but he also has an audience that he speaks to, and he is going to give them opinions that they will agree with, and that just generates more headlines, and that generates more money for Spotify, and there you go. So either listen to it or don't listen to it. I think it's a bunch of nonsense, in my opinion.
I know. Somebody having walnuts there? What are you doing?
I just put my glasses down on the table.
No, somebody else is cracking something.
No, I think that's what it might have been. It sounds like plastic rubbing against plastic.
No, it was a wooden table. That's so funny.
Anyway, God, I lost my train of thought now. One thing I will tell you about Joe Rogan is I've talked to him a couple times. He's not a friendly guy. If he doesn't know you, he's not friendly at all. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, I asked him what part of Boston he was from, and he basically told me it's none of your goddamn business. Like, pardon me, I just... They're trying to find a little background on you. But I will tell you this. I know several people that know him well, and they love the guy. They think he's the greatest guy in the damn world. Now, these are people that are actors, so he can help them out. I know several people that know Joe Rogan and think the world of him. But, man, if you're not in that inner circle, he doesn't give a rat's ass about anybody but himself and his friends.
He's making a ton of money off of off of his opinions. And you know what?
Right.
You have to sit there and look at Howard Stern. He was controversial when he was like the shock jock at the time. There's plenty of other shock jocks of the time. I think Howard has softened a lot over the years. Still one of the greatest interviewers out there. But you're either going to pay attention to it or you're not going to pay attention to it. But I do think a lot of these people who are spouting like, hey, you know, I'm anti-vax, blah, blah, blah. I think a lot of them behind the scenes, just because of the regulations, are vaccinated. And so you got
somebody
is
making noise on their mic. What is that? What is that noise?
I have no idea. It's nobody in here.
It's not here.
Well, I don't know where it is.
I don't have any noise going on.
And I'm the only one here, so I don't know. It must be on the line somewhere. Okay, then I'll just ignore it. Never mind. Sorry. Okay. Sorry, Kristen. It sounds like plastic being rubbed on plastic. But if you guys
don't hear anything over here, then the only time I put my glasses down on the table, but that was only a one-time thing.
Maybe it's Jude eating the leg off the table. That might be it.
Judy.
But he's not even in here, so it can't be him. Like I said, I just, and I'll defend Joe Rogan in saying, as I said, he's had vaccination people on. He's had anti-vaccination people on. You get to hear both opinions. I don't know how that's spreading misinformation when you offer both sides of the argument. It's a bullshit
argument.
I think
what wound up happening was when he wound up getting COVID himself, he was taking ivermectin, which, of course, everyone has their opinion on it. And then you had Aaron Rodgers, who then also got COVID and said, hey, I talked to Joe Rogan. And then you're like, well, when has he become the medical expert? And I think it just snowballed from there because people are going to grasp at certain aspects of it. Because you might ask a friend like, hey, what did you do that helped you get better from COVID? You
know, right.
But maybe he shouldn't have mentioned it in the press. That's probably what it was.
Well, the problem that I have is I was vaccinated, I was boosted, and I still got COVID. And, you know, it is what it is. And I got really sick, actually, for about 3 days. I was okay most of the time, but for about 3 days, I got very, very sick. There's no doubt about that. So I did what I was supposed to do, and I still got it. Whatever. I just worried about Catherine and the kids and the grandkids, you know, but they didn't come over, so that worked out. But, yeah, I don't care about stuff like that. You want me to take an injection? I don't give a rat's ass. I'm tough. I can handle it. Ah!
You can take the needle.
I can take the needle.
I've taken 3 needles at this point. But for me, obviously, I have to do it if I want to go to work. And I just have no problem with it.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm just like, I don't want to go to the hospital. I don't want to die. I'm good. But everyone has to make their own decision. And at this point, you've had plenty of time to make that decision. So,
you know, the thing I would like to point out is they tell you, oh, my God, it's just horrible. And so they're worried about themselves getting infected by you if you're not vaccinated. They're not worried about you. They're worried about themselves. Is that correct?
Well, everyone's self-centered, I think.
Well, yeah, I'm not vaccinated, and I have certain people in my life that, yes, they're like, I don't want you to give it to me and kill me.
Okay. Well, I don't understand something. So it's okay to sell alcohol by the hundreds of thousands of gallons and then get behind the wheel and kill other people. That's okay? We don't care about that one? Well, is that right?
Who says that? We care about that?
We do care.
Well, we don't regulate it enough.
Minnesota, where we just let you off with a slap on the wrist. But
that's what I'm saying. You don't even pay a price. You know, you got about 5 DUIs. You finally have to go to jail for like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
No, look, we got to stop all this bad behavior. I worry about, look, I'm not saying if you're not vaccinated, it's bad behavior, or vaccinated, it's bad behavior. But you can't single things out just because it's part of your life. Well, drunk drivers are part of our life, too, and we let them get away with it every single day. It's too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Am I wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of behavior that we tolerate. Like smoking.
Exactly.
Like smoking.
Yeah.
Like smoking. Exactly.
I'll believe the hospitals are overwhelmed argument when you start shaming smokers and people who eat fast food and people who drink, people who engage in any dangerous behavior. I mean, technically speaking, all these people are choosing to lead unhealthy lifestyles and put strain on our medical system. But you never cared about that until just now.
There's no excuse when there's Uber and Lyft at this point.
No, right. There's not. But people never seem to care about it, but all of a sudden they care about our precious medical system. It's like, no, you care about yourself. Just be honest.
And I know that it can be inflammatory, but, you know, if you have promiscuous, unprotected sex, you're at risk for venereal diseases, you know, like AIDS. So as long as you use condoms, I mean, there's a chance of that transmitting that is very small, or contracting is very small. But that's not the choice. So people are making these choices, you know, if you're using illicit heroin, every once in a while you get a little fentanyl in there. You might die.
Yep.
You know, don't do that. I mean, there's choices that people make, and that no one wants to be held. No one wants to hold people responsible for their actions. There's no holding responsibility for your actions.
Until now, because now it affects them personally.
Yeah. We're being held.
They're afraid it will affect them
personally. Now we're being held accountable for our lack of actions.
Yep.
Rather than actions.
Yeah.
So.
No, you're absolutely right about that. It's just the whole thing is absolutely disgusting. I mean, we can go down the list. There are a list of things that are going on right now that I find just ridiculously stupid, and people just keep saying it over and over and over again. Well, like Whoopi Goldberg saying that the Nazis killing 13 million people in concentration camps wasn't racist. What?
She's so weird.
They were...
Well, she just thinks it's white people killing other white people. So,
but it's not Semites. Okay, it's a different deal. Plus, the fact, the Aryan race, isn't that what they call themselves? So they didn't call themselves white people. They were the Aryan race, right?
Blonde hair, blue eyed.
Yeah. So I mean, so she
I just
can go
feel like
on
a lot of people need to go back and take a history class, or get themselves over to Germany and go to some of these concentration camps. They are devastating to visit. They're devastating.
Alex was just talking about that.
Yeah, I went to Dachau 5, 6 years ago, 7 years ago. I don't, yeah, it's, and that was, as I was saying before, I was like, and that wasn't even one of the worst ones. I mean, they're all absolutely horrible, but it was mild compared to some of the other ones. It's just, ugh.
But when you see the ovens, I mean, you think about that. Can you imagine that that was your fate? That you, someone marched you over to an oven? Like, because I remember at Dachau, you see them right there. And now at this point, there's a lot of beautiful gardens and greenery in certain sections. But the starkness is still there. And I've got to imagine when you go during like a winter, during winter, I think I went during the summer, just how dreary and bleak your entire life was, waking up every single day to that.
Yeah, and like the bunk houses where people just so tiny, and how the amount of people that were shoved in them, and it was just like, gosh, yeah.
It made such, I mean, obviously, I studied it in school growing up and in college, but going there just made such an impression that it's, to me, is honestly will always stick with me, because it was so devastating. That whole day, I just felt so solemn and somber and sad.
No, I understand. You know, Alex, I'm sure it's the same way. It just, you don't get over something like that, I wouldn't think. This, just going to the Holocaust Museum was bad enough. My God, and that's in Washington, D.C., so that's not even in Germany.
Like, how is humanity so cruel? It's, I guess that's what I always question.
Right. No, you're absolutely right about that. So any kids' movies coming out we can laugh at? Thank God.
Hooray!
Yay!
No. What's been so interesting, and I'm sure maybe Tim has talked about this, the box office has just been the same three movies over and over again.
Yeah,
you know, it's been
there's Spider-Man, nothing going on.
It's been Sing 2, and it's been Scream, and it's keeping the movie theaters busy and afloat, but at the same time, you're like, I don't think we've ever seen anything like this in our lifetime, where for months we had no new movies coming to the movie theater, and they were all closed, and then now we're just like, we're going to hang on to the same three films over and over again until people finally tire of them.
Yeah. I saw Sing 2. It was great.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
with the kids?
Yeah, it was absolutely adorable.
We'll watch it once it's free on Disney Plus.
It won't be on Disney Plus. It's not a Disney movie.
Well, on whatever we saw it on then. It's on one of those streaming things. I forget which one.
It's on the Pig Gym.
On what?
Peacock?
No, we don't have Peacock. It was on one of those.
I know Universal is sending most of their films to Peacock.
I did not know that.
I do not know, but yeah, it was really great, and I would recommend it.
So anything good coming out?
Yeah, I think the one thing that I just want to say is interesting, in most cases, other than a big blockbuster like Spider-Man, most of the movies, if they're not coming out immediately on streaming, it's 45 days. So that's kind of the new normal at this point. So you can just wait 45 days if you don't want to go to the movie theater.
And that came out, what, but Christmas week?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
What did?
Sing 2.
Sing 2.
It's been out for almost 6 weeks already?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, and Spider-Man's been at the top of the box office for almost 2 months.
Yeah, God knows how long.
Encanto is still in some theaters, and that came out in November. Yeah, it's...
Really?
We'll get a couple things like coming in February, but it's still going to be relatively quiet. Like J-Lo has a rom-com coming, Marry Me. That's going to be, you know, but it's not, we just don't have these huge blockbusters coming every single weekend, all these tentpoles the way we've had in the past.
My neighbors won tickets to the Marry Me movie premiere in wherever, and they are like, not movie premiere people at all, and so it's going to be such an interesting story to hear how that went for them.
I know, and this film has been finished for, at this point, almost like 2.5 years, and they just held it for so long. So at this point, it feels like Jennifer Lopez has been promoting it for 2 years now.
You're like, it better be good.
You know, and it
better be good.
And it doesn't take too long before it starts to look like a period piece.
But it's absolutely true. Some of the technology and things were filmed pre-pandemic sometimes look a little weird to us, because you're like, wow, we would never do that now.
Huh.
That's pretty much true. We got to take a break here. Be right back. One more segment with Kristen Burt and the family.
Tom here for Shift Real Estate. Last year, about this time when we were making plans for Key West, I met the folks from Shift Real Estate. And when I heard the Shift story, it made sense to me. It made sense to my kids, and it makes sense to pretty much everybody that's heard about them. Shift Real Estate saves home sellers thousands of dollars on real estate fees. How do they do it? Shift lists for a flat fee of $5,000. You work with a full-time salaried agent. They take professional photos and videos of your home, list it on the MLS, and market your home online, all for a $5,000 flat fee. Call Shift Real Estate and tell them about your home. Tell them that you heard me talking about it, and they will tell you how you can save $10,000 or more when you list with Shift. It's the common sense way to sell your home. Visit shift2sell.com. That's shift, the number 2, sell.com. Because life is expensive enough. And we are back with Stretch's picks.
You know, Tom, there's a lot of analysis that goes into these picks.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend betting, of course. I always recommend betting.
Yeah, absolutely. So who's winning this thing, the Kitties, the Pack, the Bears, or the Purple?
None of the above.
Those are all the teams in the division.
I know that.
Well, who's your pick?
I'm going with Sabre Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
What? It's not a football team.
I know, but it's a hell of an HVAC company. They do the most thorough system tune-up in the industry. Sabre is one of the largest Bryant dealers in the state, which means you save. Yep, I'm going with Sabre. Sabre and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you comfortable.
It's also the smartest time to call and schedule your furnace tune-up with Sabre. Get the most thorough tune-up in the industry from the people who keep my home comfortable.
Oh, one more thing, Tom.
What's that?
Visit SabreHeating.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener's Special Square, check out this flash sale on the Giza Dream Sheets. It won't be around for long. There are also deep discounts on all other MyPillow products, too. Enter promo code TOM, T-O-M, or call 800-516-5146 for these great radio specials. We're rocking out, man. Mm-hmm. That's all I know. We are back. We're talking movies. We're talking television.
What? I have a movie that I want to talk about that is, like, very obscure, but I'm bringing it up because maybe Kristen's seen it. Maybe she hasn't. The movie Eloise, based on the children's books.
Eloise.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
I haven't either. I didn't even know it existed. I think it came out in 2006.
16.
2016? Oh, so it's not as old as I thought it was going to be.
Is it like a horror movie?
No.
Oh, well,
no,
this...
it's based on the kids' book.
It's a children's, yeah.
You might be thinking of Eloise at the Plaza.
Yeah, at the Plaza. Okay,
that's
yes,
from 2003.
2003. Okay, so yeah, it's yeah, and so my daughter Fawn is very into the Eloise books because Eloise is six. She's a six-year-old girl of this very rich woman that is never there, and she lives at the Plaza with her nanny, and she just basically like runs around causing all sorts of mayhem.
Female
at the Plaza.
Richie Rich, basically.
Kind of, yeah, and she. It's just, I love the books. Dan hates them because she goes on these like big rants that make no sense, and I'm just like, it's such a 6 year old.
It's a 6 year old thing to
like,
do.
Thing
yeah.
to do.
I loved Eloise as a kid.
I love them so much, and Fawn is really into them. And one of my friends was like, "Oh, have you guys watched the movie?" And I was like, "There's a movie? I had no
Julie
idea."
Julie Andrews is in it.
I didn't know how. I'm like, how did I not know about this movie?
Christine Baranski. I mean, and Jeffrey Tambor's in it. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But you have some great Broadway stars, too. Gavin Creel and Deborah Monk.
Wait,
Mills.
Wait a second. We're talking about a child, the child that's been abandoned by her mother?
Sounds like a latchkey kid, a rich latchkey kid.
It sounds to me like I couldn't watch it. It's the most tragic, sad thing in the world.
She's having a great time being raised by her nanny. Yep. Nanny's lovely. She's her mostly companion is what she calls her. Mm. Oh, I just love nanny. Well, she's my mostly companion.
Okay.
Sometimes they go to Paris and visit her mother, wherever she is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's weird. And father's never mentioned. I don't know. But
this is a great. I think this is.
Well, she asked. Does she ask like where her dad is?
I know. It's like, is there? No. Well, actually, sure. I think we may have actually, maybe, I don't know. We've been reading them for a while, though, but she just got really back into them because I got her, she's learning to read, and I got her some, and last week she was like, I want more Eloise books. Are there more Eloise books? Because she has Eloise at the Plaza, Eloise in Paris, and then like Eloise How to Eat, Play, and Stay Six Forever or something like that. And I was like, I don't know. And I found these Learn to Read Eloise books. It's like a pack of six of them. And so I was like, oh my gosh, she's going to flip out. And so now we're in a very big Eloise phase in our lives. And I've never seen the movie. And it has like big names in it. And I'm like, what?
With Julie Andrews as Nanny, how can you lose?
Exactly. Who plays Eloise?
Sophia Vassileva. I don't know. Oh. I'm not familiar with her.
All right. Well, yeah.
Oh, she's 29 years old now.
Yeah. She was that in Medium, long ago. So, oh, she's from Minneapolis.
What?
Yeah, look at that.
Cool.
Yep.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I'm going to have to watch it. Maybe next. Actually, I'm not going to be on the podcast next week. But 2 weeks from now, I will do a review of Eloise at the Plaza. Because I am determined to watch the movie. I told Fawn yesterday that it was a movie, and she was like, let's watch it immediately. And I was like, well, you have school, so maybe another time.
Yeah, she's probably going to love it. I was like, you can never, I mean, when Julie Andrews is in it, it's going to be
oh,
awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have to ask a question. What do you mean you're not going to be on the podcast next week?
I am going to be at your place in Florida, and I will have my
children. Where do you think I am right now doing the podcast? Why wouldn't you be in
excuse
here?
Me, do you have children that you need to care for right now?
That's not an excuse.
Do you have two small children that need to
not
be
an excuse.
Watched after?
That's all I'm telling
while you're
you.
Doing the podcast? No, because it's burp, impossible.
Burp, 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 burp.
And do you have a British friend that you haven't seen in 6 years that's going to be with you?
We're so sorry, Uncle Albert.
That's
anyway,
exactly
she talks.
How, British accent. That's how she speaks, 100%.
100%. Honestly, God, I got to tell you a quick story. I got to tell Kristen a quick story about your British buddy.
My British buddy.
Your pal, mm-hmm. which the family just loved her. But she
loved.
Got to meet...
She's still alive.
Well, I haven't seen her in probably a decade, so I mean...
6 years. It's been six years.
Six years.
She was in America.
Yeah, it's... Long time.
But honest to God, we took her to a party, and God, who was all the Faison Love was there, and Peter Billingsley was there. But the big one was who, Alex? I thought she was going to have a heart attack when he walked over and said hello.
Vince Vaughn?
Vince Vaughn came over, and I thought she was going to have a heart attack, honest to God.
No way.
Yeah, she gets very starstruck about, like, anything. She gets really
that
wound up
hilarious.
About, like, even the most, minor celebrity situations.
It's hilarious. She's about 5'2", and he's, of course, 6'5", or 6'6", something like that.
Tall.
He was, like, a foot and a half taller than she was.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it was a great moment.
It was so
it was
funny. And
amazing.
That's the night that we saw, oh my gosh, that night was so ridiculous. We saw Kevin Love, who
yep.
is like 7 feet tall, slip on ice and fall over. And it was just like this crazy situation of just so many long limbs mm-hmm. flailing. And the entire city was covered in black ice.
Oh, that's
was,
the worst.
Yeah.
And so we were at this party, and then we drove back to St. Paul, which took us, I think, 3 hours, which is usually a 15-minute drive because there was a 17-car accident. My gas tank was on empty the entire time. Yeah, it was like it was quite a situation. But we got to the gas station. We were driving like 2 miles per hour the entire way. Yeah, that was...
So. Wow. Kristen, have you ever met somebody when your career first started where you were just starstruck by meeting them?
No. You know, everyone always asks me if I've ever been starstruck even in interviewing people. And I will tell you, the one person that made me just super excited to interview them is not someone who works in Hollywood. They're in the Olympic sports world, and that was Michelle Kwan. Because I just loved her when she was skating so much, and... I always think about, like, because the 2002 Olympics are obviously celebrating their 20th anniversary, and how
right.
like that was her Olympics. She was finally going to win her gold, and then she fell, and I felt like I fell on the ice, and I was so crushed.
Mm.
I haven't gotten over it, you guys, 20 years later.
She's still never gotten over it.
Still feels, you know, really.
Michelle probably is long past it. I still am not over it. I'm just crushed for her. But that's how much I loved her. So when I finally had the opportunity to interview her, I think it was probably somewhere around 2006 or 2007. I inside, I was like, oh my gosh, this is finally happening.
Yeah, understandable. No, I was trying to think, Alex, Andy, anybody ever, you were, well, you two were never starstruck because you've known famous people your whole life.
I don't
life.
Think I've ever been starstruck so much. I think the first interview I remember being on the show that I was like really excited for was Billy West, which you didn't even know who he is.
The voiceover guy. I know Billy West. I worked with Billy West.
Well, when you saw that Billy West was going to be on, I was like, Billy West? That Billy West? And you were like, what Billy West? So...
No, but I didn't know the voiceover guy was going to be on.
Yep, yeah, but most people don't even know who he is. But, yeah, he's. I've always been more into voiceover people because I grew up with cartoons and video games, and there was a lot of overlap between the voiceover people and both of those things. I didn't really watch a whole lot of live TV, if any, really. So
yeah, that's
like,
true.
I grew up with all these voices, you know, Billy West and Rob Paulsen, those people. And, it's those people are the ones I like interviewing because they're more relevant to me. But it's like, you know, I don't know, we could have some massive superstar on and I would be like, okay, whatever.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't really care. Yeah. So actually, Ralph and Kristen, my kids, basically to this day, they're 35 and turning 33 tomorrow. Alex's birthday is tomorrow, but their highlight, they're the proudest of their father. They were proudest of their father when I did the voiceover for a macaroni and cheese commercial.
It was Monsters. It was Monsters Inc. Macaroni.
It was Monsters Inc. figures of macaroni and cheese, and the kids were so excited to be my children because I was doing a macaroni and cheese commercial.
And we got so many boxes of that mac and cheese because you did the commercial. We got like crates of it, and we were like, "This is the best."
Well, Tom, finally they realized you had made it. You finally made it.
I finally made it because they did a Monsters Inc.
You know, I was telling Andy,
I love that. But that's the truth, though. When you constantly are interviewing celebrities, it's always the Toms that you sit there and think, wait, they're excited about that? That same thing happens to me all the time. Mm-hmm. You can be on the Oscars red carpet, but people will really care that, you know, for whatever reason, that you were, you know, behind the scenes at Dancing with the Stars, or that you interviewed a Kardashian, or that you're on QVC. Like, it's just funny that people latch onto different things.
Yep, they do. Well, you know, my kids did.
You know, my my starstruck experience, I really have only had one, even though you know, and Kristen, you know, we talked about this, you know, even though I was in the presence of Eric Braeden, my starstruck experience was when Tom introduced me to Nick Swartzen.
Oh, that's right.
And I because at the time I was a huge Reno 911 fan, and he was Terry, and it was, God, what a talent. You know, just... a very talented guy. Now, even when I met Louis, you know, Louis Anderson, I was never starstruck, even though what a great talent he was. God rest his soul.
What a loss.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah, it was
God rest
terrible.
His soul.
Louis lost Bob Saget. Bob was a friend of mine as well. Lost Bob Saget, lost Louis Anderson, and lost another local guy. Well, you remember, Kristen, when you work in town, Campbell Mathune is a huge ad agency.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Dunlap died last week, or a couple of weeks ago now, I guess.
And January was a brutal month.
Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah.
And then you lose Johnny Fever.
It didn't last 4 weeks. I felt like January lasted 26 weeks, honestly.
Yes. Yep, you're right. Took forever. Losing Johnny Fever was not easy. I didn't know Howard Hessman at all, but I sure loved that show because it was about disc jockeys. I thought it was wonderful.
He's been out of the public eye for a little while, hasn't he? I feel like I haven't seen him in the last few years.
Yeah, he's 81 when he died, so there you go. It just, it's unfortunate, but you move along. But, yeah, Louis, still, I'm in a situation with Louis. I still, it's like, hey, I got to call Louis. Oh, I can't call Louis because he's dead. You know, it's one of those days.
Yeah. When did you last speak with him?
In August. It was the ninth anniversary of the show, Andy? Is that when it was?
That's what it was for.
It was for the ninth anniversary. I think that was August, like August 17th or something like that.
Something like that. I could probably, let me hold on.
Look it up and I'll tell Kristen this part.
It was the 2000th episode is what it was.
I think. 2000th episode, that's what
it was. Yes, so it was episode 2000.
episode 2000 he was on, and now so that was September, October, November, December. Yeah, so it was 5 months before he died, and he was on the show, and I brought up on the show that Louis Anderson and my mother were the best of friends. My mother adored Louis Anderson, thought he was a wonderful guy, and they were very close, and I brought her name up, and he started openly weeping. You guys remember that when he started crying?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, and I went, something's going on here, man. So he knew he didn't have long to live.
I think
and
he might
So well, devastating. I was such a big fan of his Saturday morning, like Little Louie.
Life with Louie.
Life with Louie. Oh, my God, that was so,
Yeah, he was one of those, he went into the hospital and it was what, like 2 days? Three days?
2 days, yep. That was it.
Which,
it was like 2 days. That was the end of it. But he was something. You know, one thing, Kristen, well, the kids know this. I think even Ralph knows this. But the first time Louie ever met Catherine, he takes her aside, but not out of voice reach. So I could still hear them talking, but he took her aside. And he goes, Catherine. I got to bring up a point to you about Tom and see if you see the same thing I do. And she goes, yeah, what's that? And he goes, you ever notice Tom's very self-involved? I was like, gee, thanks. Thanks a lot, Louie. He says this to my wife. Thank you so much for that. I really, really appreciate it. But, God, there was a, we had a New Year's Eve party about, oh, God, probably 7, 8 years ago. And Louie came to the New Year's Eve party. And this woman had too much to drink. Remember that? Andy and Alex, do you remember that?
I don't think so.
I
remember several parties where a woman had too much to drink, yes, but...
I remember hearing about it. I was there, but I didn't witness it.
Oh, God, it was unbelievable. She hopped on Louie's lap and started dry humping him.
That's not going to get you anywhere.
Oh, boy. That's a lot.
Ooh, that's a party. That's a party. Oh, God, was he pissed off. He was not happy about that one, Kristen. I'll tell you that. No doubt about it. But we move on with life, I guess.
I guess so.
There you go.
I guess that's all the whole deal is. But, yeah, it's well, the Bob Saget thing out in L.A. must be a pretty big deal because that he killed on America's Funniest Home Videos. I thought he was terrific on there.
Yeah, you know, and I think that, you know, he was so, he crossed over so many generations because so many people grow up with Full House and, you know, out he overlapped with America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah.
Some people knew him from stand-up and then he was back with Fuller House. So you have to say there's probably at least 2.5 generations between that span.
Yeah.
And so many people had worked with him, loved him, adored him. And I just think that the outpouring of adoration we all saw with his passing just really proves how he really was that guy. He kind of was everyone's dad, and even though his comedy was a lot bluer, but that was the great thing about him. There were two sides to him. Yeah.
And he did stand up the whole time he was on the shows too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Yep.
Yeah.
Very incongruent two careers at the same time, basically.
That's hard to sustain too, and people accepted both sides of that, which is wonderful.
I don't think you could do that these days.
You don't think
everything,
so?
Everything is typecast. Everything is combined because everything is, you know, it's right there. If you wanted, back then, if you wanted to see him on Full House, you had to wait until, you know, Sundays at 7 or whatever the hell it was.
Right.
And if you wanted to see him do stand-up, you had to go to his stand-up. Whereas now, they're both just, you put it on YouTube, there you go. You can watch them both and people are going to be like, hey, wait a minute. How come Danny Tanner is acting like a, you know...
Longshoreman.
Yeah, exactly. And people get all mad about it.
It'd
but
be
back
social
then,
media ruining that aspect of his career because social media has ruined everything.
That is very true.
Yeah, so you couldn't have two products of the, from the same person.
No.
He had two products, two different
personas,
exactly,
two
products.
Successful products,
too. Yeah, he had two careers at the same time, but they wouldn't allow that these days, I don't think.
Yeah, maybe not. You mean like radio and podcasting? Thank you very much. Great to be here. You know what I'm saying. But, well, I miss those guys. Bob Saget was a great guy. I knew Louie much, much better. I adored Louie, and I really, really miss him a lot. But Scott Hansen was another local guy. Very, very funny. Nicest guy in the world. He's been dead for about 4 or 5 months already. You know, Bill Dunlap from Campbell Methuen. It's like, okay, enough with the dying. Let's wrap it up. Let's go. Let's move on to February. February 1st.
And Melissa just lost her grandpa.
Yeah, just and that was on January, 30th?
That was Sunday.
Oh, God. So, yeah, it was the 30th of January. Yep. He almost made it out of January. But
almost.
It's a tough... Ralph, as a doctor, is January... That's a hard month for people to get through, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's just dark, actually. And cold. And, I mean, there's a lot of, you know... I don't know if there's statistics that support it, but,
I'm wondering right now.
Depressed, and if you're a little bit sick, and you're a little bit, you know, you just run the risk, and you're, of course, inside, around a lot of people, so you can get minor infections. Any kind of pulmonary infections, you're just at risk for that, and it tip you over the edge.
Yep, that cold air, it's not good for you.
It is not. Is it? Did they ever find out what killed Bob Saget? Was it a heart attack?
Oh, yeah. What was the...
I don't think that they've announced it yet. That they haven't concluded. They were looking into stroke and heart attack.
They know. Yeah, they know exactly. If they did an autopsy, they know exactly what happened to him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You open up his heart. Nothing wrong with his heart. Oh, there's no big clot in his big vessels. You open it. Oh, look, there's a big old white spot in his brain. Well, bingo.
Yeah. Why would they wait? Would there be a reason for them to wait to announce how he passed away?
No, because apparently there's no. The incidence
foul
of drug.
There's no foul play. There's no drugs. Yeah. No alcohol.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So maybe.
Right.
And I don't understand it because you know that result. You know, with the gross when the gross examination of the body many times gives you the answer. But that's pretty much what it would be in his case. That's what you would expect, unless they're looking. But microscopic evidence. Well, that's when you have like a cancer or something like that. That mm-hmm. You have to do microscopic examination of this to see what it was. But that's only 2 or 3 days. So this whole thing's wrapped unless they're doing, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, I think I might have something. Oh, wait, no. This was his sister.
Oh, what did she say?
His sister died of scleroderma.
Ooh.
Which, yeah.
He fundraised after her death.
That was a long time ago.
For decades, yeah, for scleroderma. My grandmother died of that.
They're still just, they don't have it, published. Interesting.
Well, I was told that when they found him dead that he had one hand on his chest, so they thought it might be a heart attack.
Mm-hmm. If anything, it was a heart attack. I mean, heart attack or stroke are like the safe bets. There's no real reason to believe it except for statistics.
Yeah. Right.
And I believe his brother passed away from a heart attack.
Oh, really?
Oh, sudden death. Okay.
Yeah, there seemed to be a family history, so.
Yeah.
No, I'm going with pulmonary embolus, but that's...
Could be, yeah.
The saddle embolus, that's what I'm going with.
Yeah,
because once that hits, you don't have a whole lot of time.
Nope. That's sudden death too.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, a very funny guy and one of the nicest men. Now you met him personally, didn't you, Kristen?
Yes, I haven't interviewed him in a while, but I would say probably about a decade ago at a television Academy event where they were saluting television's greatest dads. So it was amazing. It was a really fun night and. Like Dick Van Dyke was there, and Dick Van Patten was there from Eight Is Enough. He was still alive. Bob Saget was there. It was just a really cool night.
Yeah, it sounds like it. See, that's part of your job that must be thrilling and very rewarding. Is nights like that?
Absolutely, because those are the nights where you get to see probably the best of Hollywood. Honestly. Because it's not the award shows that's the best of Hollywood. It's those celebratory nights, whether it's a Lifetime Achievement Award or whether it's just kind of a theme night that they decide to do. Those are the ones that always stick out in your mind.
Okay, well, my favorite Hollywood night in history was when Katharine Brandt was 21, I was 29. We went out to the Tower. That's when I was working for Capitol Records. We went out to the Tower in Los Angeles, and we were walking into Musso and Frank's. And coming out the door were two men who were carrying one arm around their shoulder, a piece of Rod Stewart, who was too drunk to walk.
Mm-hmm. Rod's got some problems.
Not surprising.
So there you go. And you know what's amazing about that?
That's amazing.
Catherine does not remember seeing him. She doesn't remember it at all.
Was she really drunk and you were carrying her in the hotel?
Well, that was the night. Oh, Kristen, you'll love this one. Now, we had been together about, I would say... probably about 5 months, something like that. I had just met her 5 months earlier, and we take a trip out there to visit my friend who was in voiceover out there. And I was thinking about moving out there to do voiceover and went to New York instead. But we go into Musso and Frank's, and Catherine orders a lobster. She's 21 years old and apparently wasn't paying attention because she ordered a lobster, 10 pounds of lobster. I do believe I had to take out a mortgage on my house to pay for it, if I remember
correctly. Was that a $100 lobster back in the day?
Oh, it was at least $100. It might have been a few hundred dollars, actually, back in the day.
But we were handed out. Lobsters are not the best meat, either.
No, they're not.
No. No, not at all. We were handing it out to everybody who'd come near us. Here, have a lobster claw.
Enjoy some lobster on us.
Catherine, she was a piece. But I, you know, thinking about that, looking back, that she was 21 years old, and there she is standing in the recording studio where Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and all those guys, Johnny Mercer, in that Capitol Tower recording studio. I said, Catherine, that is the mic that Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra sang into to record this album, that album, this album. And she's 21. That must have been kind of overwhelming, I would think. Right?
It's either overwhelming or you're like, those are old dudes.
Yeah,
that does
that's
happen,
true.
And you don't realize until later on when you understand like the gravity
maybe.
Of like the magnitude of what you were in front of. And
well,
go,
she was
oh,
that
that's
would have
really
been
cool.
1980. So
yeah, 80 or
I don't know.
81,
they were
yeah.
they were still like active. I think some of them anyway.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah,
there was
I think they're all still 80, active. Yeah. But sometimes you just think when you're younger, like oh, there's those old people.
That's,
that's
true,
like
sometimes.
My grandmother's, you know, singers. But then later on, as you get older and understand like how legendary they were, you're like, oh, when I was in there, that was amazing.
The 21 is like the perfect age to not appreciate things.
Not care
because
about
below like that age, you're a kid, so you just like everything. And then above that age, you have more of an understanding of why it's significant. But in
right.
your early 20s, late teens, that's the age where you're too good for everything, so you don't really care.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
All right, young lady, it's time to wrap it up already. Every time you're on, it just the time flies by, sister.
It's
all
like insane. I've been here 2 minutes.
2 minutes. You're absolutely right. All right, well, that's going to do it. We will talk to you tomorrow with the family.